Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. We are continuing today in our study in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 5 presents to us a very straightforward exhortation against the lure of immorality and the pitfalls associated with immoral sexual behavior. We live in a day when immorality in the sexual sense is all around us. It is presented as no big deal through the media, videos, and television. Internet pornography is at an all-time high. And the opportunity for a person to sin in the area of sexual lust is tremendous. And yet, thousands of years ago, when these words were written in the book of Proverbs, God was well aware that sexual temptation has been a besetting problem throughout the ages. And it's not surprising that Solomon, the writer of the book of Proverbs, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote much about the area of temptation to commit adultery. His own father and mother were guilty of this very sin, and perhaps Solomon was thinking of their tragic story when he wrote these warnings to his own son. He wrote in the very first verse of Proverbs chapter 5, "My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion, and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable, and she does not know it. Now then, my sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, or you will give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one." These words of warning to Solomon's sons to stay far from the adulteress is a message to our generation as well. The fact that he was writing to his sons and it's placed in the sense of a warning against an adulterous woman is not the issue. It's the issue of immorality is always around us to entice us, whether male or female, and we are warned from God to avoid it at all costs, or we'll end up with the results that Solomon warns of here. In the end, immorality is as bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. How many people do you know that have been people of prominence who have given into sexual temptation outside of marriage and have ended up with tragic results in their family, in their careers, and with their reputation? It happened to King David. We see in 2 Samuel chapter 11, the very tragic tale of David falling into the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. In chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, verse 1, it says, "Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David stayed at Jerusalem. Now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' David sent messengers and took her, and when she came to him, he lay with her." Now, this story of King David was the beginning of the end. All the chapters prior to this in 2 Samuel were reports of David's conquests, the battles that he won, his tremendous successes, though he had been chased by Saul for so many years, when he was finally anointed as king over Israel, he had triumph upon triumph. And then, right in the middle of 2 Samuel, in chapters 11 and 12, we see this sad story of David's choice of committing adultery and then attempting to have Bathsheba's husband murdered through placing him in a most dangerous position in the army so that he would surely be killed. And it was a downhill slide for David after that. From the time of chapter 12 onward, David's troubles began, and he was plagued throughout the rest of his life with problems in his own family, sexual sin plaguing his own family, the sin of incest with his own son and daughter, and many different problems, including Absalom's rebellion and attempt to overthrow David as king. And it is a sad tale of downhill progression in David's career as king. Was it all a result of this sin? I believe it was totally linked as a consequence to David's sins, dual sins of adultery and murder. And we're warned here in Proverbs chapter 5 that the result of falling into this sin is that there's always a payday at the end, and it isn't pretty. One writer put it this way: the consequences of immorality are inevitable and unavoidable. It doesn't matter if you're a backstreet bum, a senator, a professional athlete, or a minister. When it comes to sexual sin, it's payday someday. People talk, husbands find out, reporters snoop, pregnancies happen, diseases spread, guilt builds, and God works. It is true that God offers forgiveness to those who repent and agree with Him concerning their sin, as shown in 1 John 1:9, but the law of cause and effect is never suspended. Often sexual sin irreversibly damages the lives of repentant Christians. And so it is with this sin of immorality. In Proverbs 5, the first half of the proverb is spent warning and appealing to the reader to not forfeit your personal honor by giving in to the sin of immorality, which is so easy to fall into in our generation in its various forms. And yet we are exhorted to resist that temptation and the enticement in every way that it is presented to us. God knows that the sin will always look tremendously alluring and seem almost irresistible. In verse 3, it says, "The lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech." It's the implication that the allurement of the sin is very strong, and God is very aware of that. In fact, verse 5, it says, "Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell, lest you should ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, so that you can't know them." The word movable refers to changeable, meaning that this immoral woman, which is the personification of sin in however it's presented to you, cunningly alters her demeanor so as to retain her hold on those she has enticed. You know, Satan is able to, in a cunning way, alter the way that the enticement is presented to you. So though you may have resisted it over here, another presentation may enable you to fall into its trap. It requires a decision before the temptation ever comes your way that you will not partake in sexual sin, that that's the decision of your life, that that's the boundary you've put around your own life, and that you'll flee, as Paul the Apostle wrote to Timothy, flee youthful lust, stay away from it. A scenario of temptation needs to be avoided like the plague. And that is a word for every one of us. Do you run far from temptation? When someone wants to watch an unclean movie, are you the person that says, "You know what? I don't want to watch that," and you get up and leave the room? Or do you sit there and tolerate that presentation of sexual temptation to your eyes, saying, oh, well, I'll just ignore those parts. That's a deception of the enemy, because he wants to sow into your spirit a receptivity to future enticement in your life. If you start out watching just a little bit of sexual innuendo in movies, then that will grow to being willing to accept explicit presentation of sexual sin in movies, to being willing to look at internet pornography, to being willing to fall into an extramarital adulterous relationship in no time. Don't allow the first enticement to work its way into your heart and mind and soul and body. God wants you to resist enticement in its smallest place. When David first was walking on the roof of his house, he wasn't up there looking for somebody to commit adultery with. He was walking on the roof of the king's palace when he happened to spot Bathsheba bathing across the way, either through a window or on her roof of her house or whatever. But he could have resisted it, right? He could have turned immediately and gone downstairs and just put the thought out of his mind, but he didn't. He lingered. He looked. He considered. And then he sent somebody over to find out who it was. And even then, when they returned with the report that she's the wife of another man, he could have said, God, forgive me for even thinking about this, and stopped it right there. But no, he continued and he sent for her. Understand, God warns us, flee youthful lust, resist the temptation when it's presented in the smallest way, and it'll guard your heart when more blatant temptation is brought to bear upon your soul. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you, resist the allurement of sexual sin and have a victorious day.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.